For those of us who have trusted in Christ as Savior, we have the privilege and responsibility to make a difference. That's the thing we've been talking about. We're to make disciples. In fact, we're to be disciples and make disciples. That's a key thing. We're to walk worthy of our calling. We're to bring glory to Jesus Christ. But as we think about all of that, there's something we do not want to forget, and that is this, that there is a distinction between our salvation and our Christian life. And I don't know whether you understand this or not, but there are a lot of people who do not make that distinction. They do not make a distinction between salvation and Christian life. I'll show you what I mean. But let's think first of all about salvation. Salvation is simply the point when you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You believe that He died and rose again for you, and you trust in Him for eternal life. That's salvation. Happens just like that, and you're saved forever. When a person puts their trust in Christ, and that's, we'd say it's the point in time in history when you believe. And the Bible says in tons of places, 154 just in the New Testament, that whoever believes has eternal life. So that's salvation. The Christian life is different. The Christian life is the time period beginning with our salvation. When you trust in Christ, you now enter what we call the Christian life, is that time period in which we seek to live and to serve and to bring glory to our Savior while we're on this earth. And that Christian life ends either at death or at the return of Jesus Christ when He comes to get us, to take us out. We call that the rapture. So realize that there's a distinction. Salvation is exactly in a point in time. You put your faith in Christ, He gives you eternal life. Christian life is a time period beginning after you trust Christ until you either die physically or Jesus Christ comes back and changes us. That's the Christian life. Now, a lot of people do not make that distinction. You say, well, what are you talking about? It seems like people do, don't they? No, there are a lot don't. And they mix it up. And let me tell you what we're talking about. We're calling it front-loading and back-loading. They front load and back load the gospel. Front loading is adding anything to be done in order to be saved, whether it's to join a church, to walk down some kind of aisle, to be willing to serve God, to give your life to Jesus, to turn away from sin. All of this, as we'd say, is works for salvation. And what people are doing is they're mixing it up, because what they're saying is these are the things that one do as a believer, not in order to be saved. But what they're doing is saying if you don't do these things, you can't be saved. And so they're mixing up actions of a believer, which would be to live for Christ and to serve Him and your life count for Him. That's not what you do to be saved. That's what you do because you are saved. So that's front loading. Now, back loading the gospel is saying that in order to know that you're a Christian, or in order to hang on to your salvation, you have to do certain things. You have to do good works. You have to show fruit in your life. If you don't, there are some people who believe that if you don't, you might have had salvation, but then you lose it. There's other whole group of people that teach if you don't live righteously and godly and produce fruit and do all that, it just shows you were never saved, even though you were fooled. You thought maybe for years that you were a Christian, but it just proves you're not because you don't produce. That's backloading. That's basically saying, here are good works that I do to save me or keep me saved. That's mixing up salvation and Christian life, because there are a lot of good works that we do, but it has no bearing on our eternal destiny. The Bible says in a lot of places that we're to do good works. This is profitable for all men. Ephesians, the great passage, says, by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, to get to God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. But it didn't say that we're saved by good works. It didn't say that we're proved that we're saved by good works. It didn't say that you keep on being saved by good works. That's blurring the distinction between salvation, which is a gift, and the Christian life, which is your service and your growth for Jesus Christ. So there's this confusion there. And what we want to do is realize that salvation is the gift, and you're saved and saved forever. And Christian life is lived in the service for Jesus Christ. Now, what we want to do is deal, as we continue to deal with the issue of fruit, we're going to come up with this point that people make all the time. And that is, if you're not doing good works, you either lose it or you never had it. Now, think about your life for just a second. Just stop for a second and think, how many good works are you doing? Are you serving Jesus Christ? Are you living for the glory of God? I mean, you can say, well, I mean, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Let me ask you this. How many good works have you done and are doing and will do in order to ensure yourself that you pretty much can say, I'm pretty sure I'm going to heaven because I think I've produced enough fruit, or some fruit, or partial fruit, or rotten fruit, or some kind of fruit, right? I think I've done something. Anytime you put looking at your lifestyle to try to determine your salvation, you're going to have some real problems. So what we want to look at is there is this issue today that some people will tell you, look at your life. In fact, I've got some questions that I have written down. Can you tell if a person is a Christian? And some people say you can look at how that person lives and you can tell if they trusted Christ. Some say you can tell by their attitudes and actions. Others say you can know them by their fruits. That's how they say it. Most of the time they'll say you'll know them by their fruit. But if they're going to be biblical and the passage they're quoting is not you'll know them by their fruit, it says you'll know them by their fruits. And we're going to look at that passage and we're going to find out what they're talking about. Is it talking about a believer and that you can look at the lifestyle of a believer and you can see the fruits in their life and say, I know they're a believer? Others say, no, you can't tell because you can't see inside. You can't know whether a person has trusted in Christ as Savior or not, at least by looking at them. Now, let me remind you, before we get into all that, what we've been doing. This is our outline. I hope you can see it, but we started by just talking about salvation by grace through faith and the privilege of the believer and the responsibility of believers. And we talked about that we should produce fruit. We talked about what is biblical fruit. We talked about areas like, are there levels of fruit? Can a believer not produce fruit? How do you view a life, or even do you view a life? And then we're going to get into John 15. Now, we won't probably get to John 15 today. That's next week. We're going to talk about how to produce fruit and why produce fruit. And that'll take a couple of weeks, and there's some great things there. But we looked last week at, are there different levels of fruit? And can a believer not produce fruit? And should we look at a life, or do we look at a life to find out whether a person is a believer or not, is saved? That's some of the questions. We talked about what is fruit, and fruit could be anything from leading somebody to Christ to producing the fruit of the Spirit to doing good works. Second thing is we talked about, are there different levels of fruit? And we said, yeah. And we went to John 15, and that's the passage we're going to come back to next week. But remember in John 15, he says, I am the vine, you're the branches. Every branch in me, Jesus is saying, somebody connected with me, every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he literally says, I lift up. Are there branches in Jesus Christ who do not produce fruit? What do you think? What did he say? Every branch of me that does not produce fruit, I lift up. And some Bibles say, I take away, or I even cut off. And we'll talk about what that means, because we'll look at it when we get into more detail. And then he says, and those that produce fruit, I do something so they'll produce more fruit. So you got some fruit, you got some more fruit. And then it says, if you abide in him and I in you, you can produce much fruit. So we found out that in that little passage, there is no fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. We then went over to the Matthew passage, or the Mark passage, which is also found in Matthew and Luke, that passage that talks about the sower and the seeds. And we said that the sower throws some out and it never even gets to the ground. The bird comes and gets it. And then we said that some gets into the ground, it is received with joy, but it produces no fruit because when the sun comes up, it just kind of burns it all up. And then we said some get in the ground, believe, so to speak, and then the thorns and thistles and the cares of this world and even the desires of this world choke it out. And then some hit the good soil, so to speak, and it grows and it produces 30, 60, 100. We said that passage, that parable is the same as John 15. There are some that produce no fruit because the pressures of the world, the trials, the tribulations, but there are some who produce fruit, 30, 60, 100 fruit, more fruit, much fruit. So we spent a couple of weeks looking at that. And so you want to think about your own life and say, where are you? Now, I hope and pray that none of you, the first one, where you never trusted in Christ as your Savior, because they're the ones that hadn't got the message. If you are, you can put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior right now, right where you're sitting. You can believe that He died for you and rose again, that He will give you eternal life. And you say to Him, I believe you are my Savior, and you will take me to heaven. That's salvation. That's all it is. But there are many of you who maybe are the vine, or maybe the branch in Him that produces no fruit. And it could be that you've let the trials and problems of this life, you've let the desires and pressures and other things just either choke you out or mess you up, or you've got no root and you're not really growing. And if you looked at your life, you'd say, you know, truthfully, I'm not producing any fruit. Doesn't mean you're not a Christian. It just means you're not producing any fruit. Maybe you're the 30, the 60, or the 100. Maybe you're the fruit and the more fruit and the much fruit. That's the plan and the goal. Now, with all that in mind, and we looked at John 15 and Mark 4 and all those places, we come to the question that you're going to be challenged with when you believe, when you say, well, a believer could not produce fruit because there are branches in him that produce no fruit. There are the seed that gets in the ground and it doesn't produce fruit. There are going to be some people say to you, that's not right. No, 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 no. Every believer is going to produce fruit. Every believer is going to produce fruit. You will know them by their Fruits. And so when you say that there can be a Christian who doesn't produce fruit, they will say, you, if they don't produce fruit, they're not a Christian. You remember John 15? He said, when you abide in me and I abide in you, and you produce much fruit, and you will glorify the God, glorify the Father in heaven, and therefore you will prove to be my believer, child of God. He said, you'll prove to be my what? Disciple. Fruit doesn't prove salvation. Fruit proves discipleship. Now, how are you going to answer people when they say, the Bible plainly says you will know them by their fruits? In fact, listen to this. I'm just going to read this verse. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down, thrown in the fire. You will know them by their fruits. Verse 16 of Matthew 7, you will know them by their fruits. What in the world's going on? Does that mean that you will know people by their fruits, and that we can look around at our lives and we can say, well, I look at you, you look like you're doing the right thing. It looks to me like you're a Christian. Now, let me raise a thought before we get in to Matthew 7. What can you tell about a person from their lifestyle? Let's say that they're a Christian. You could see a person living good, and you got two options. You can say that person's living good. Now, the first option is they're a Christian living good. Second option, they're an unbeliever living good. Can unbelievers do good works? Oh my gosh, yeah. So if you see a person living good and you look at the fruits in their life, let's say it that way, what can you tell? Can you tell whether they're a believer or not? They might be a believer living good. They could be an unbeliever living good. Now, what if you look at a person and they're living bad? Could they be a believer living in the power of the flesh? And what do you look like if you live in the power of the flesh? You look like an unbeliever. That's what 1 Corinthians 3 says. He says when they were walking in the flesh, he says you look like mere men. Okay, so can a believer live in the flesh and look like an unbeliever? Live bad? Yeah. Can an unbeliever live bad? Yeah, that's pretty natural. So when you look at a life, you can't tell. All you can tell is somebody's living good or bad, and they may be a Christian living good, an unbeliever living good. They may be a Christian living bad or unbeliever living bad. You cannot tell. How in the world can you tell if a person is a Christian? Huh? Okay. You ask me, JB, are you a Christian? And I say, yes, I am. And you say, really, you're going to heaven? I say, yeah, I am. Why? Because I've tried to live the best life I possibly could live. And I know one day when I stand before Jesus, he loves me. And because I've tried so hard, I'm going. And I'm living a good life. In fact, I've done a lot more good than bad. Now, by my lifestyle, how do I look? Good. By my message, what do I tell you? I'm trusting bad. Okay. I'm trusting what? I'm trusting something other than Jesus. Now, what if you saw me and I was living bad? And there was a time in my life, you know, from about 1973 to 1975, if you would have seen me and saw my lifestyle, you could have come up to me and said, I know you're not going to heaven. You think you're going to heaven? And I would have said, I sure am. How come? Because I have put my faith in Christ as my Savior. Yeah, but look how you're living. I know, but I know I'm going to heaven. Am I going to heaven? You bet I am. So you can't tell. How do you know if a person's going to heaven or not? By their lifestyle? By their message. Now, the passage that people pull out many times is you will know them by their fruits. Just want to look at the Matthew 7 passage. Look back at verse 13, and I want you to see the flow of the context of this passage and how it fits, okay? Notice what it starts, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. How do many people interpret that passage? There is a what? Straight and narrow way for salvation. What is that way? We say Jesus, a lot of people say, well, you got to live on the straight and narrow path. You don't want to get off into sin. You want to live your life. It's sort of like the balance beam for those girls on that thing. You know, it's a little narrow way, and you better live it good. But that's not what he's talking about. Why is the way to life so narrow? It's only what? Only one way. Who is it? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what he's talking about there. Now watch the flow of the passage, because you're going to see this next statement. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Who's he talking about in this passage? A believer, and you can look and tell if a person's a believer? He's talking about who? False prophets. I want you to understand the passage that people pull out and say you can look at the lifestyle of a believer and tell if they're a believer by their fruits. The context of that passage is talking about false prophets, not talking about believers. Look at the flow. Read what it says. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Does a false prophet's lifestyle look good or bad? How does he look? Good. He's coming in what kind of clothes? Sheeps. Who's he supposed to look like? A believer. He's looking like a sheep, but he's not. He's a false prophet. I want you to understand, this passage is not talking about lifestyle. Because you're going to find that the false prophet comes with the good lifestyle. If it said you'll know them by their fruits, and you go look at lifestyle, they look good. Fruits is not talking about lifestyle. What's it talking about? Your message. What does a prophet give? A message. You'll know them by their false message. That's what he's saying. Watch. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, because they're going to come to you looking like they're good. In fact, they're going to do all kind of things. And you know what he's going to say to them? Depart from me, I have never what? Known you. Watch. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're just ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. Now I want you to understand something. The fruits that he's talking about there is not their lifestyle. It is their message. How do you know anybody's standing before God? Is it by their lifestyle? It's by their message. You know I'm a Christian because I'm telling you I have put my faith in Christ as my Savior. I'm dependent on Him and Him alone to get me to heaven. It does not depend on my lifestyle. You might look at my lifestyle sometime and say, that guy lives a good life. He looks like a Christian. You may look at my lifestyle sometime and you say, that guy's not living very good. He doesn't live like a Christian. But that's not how you can tell, because you can't tell, because I may live bad, I may live good. But I'm telling you by my message. He says, beware of these false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing. They're trying to look good, but you're going to know them by their fruits. The fruit is the fruits is their message. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? I mean, the fruits are going to match up. Every good tree that bears good fruit, that's good. But every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. I want you to understand, as you look at this passage, you're going to realize that it's not lifestyle, because they come in what kind of clothes? Sheep's clothes. At the very end of this passage, we're going to see in just a minute, it says, they say to the Son, to the Savior, did we not cast out demons in your name? What does he say to them? By the way, is casting out a demon a good work or a bad work? Would that be a good work? I mean, if you're going to get to do that, would that be a good thing to do or a bad thing to do? We say, well, that's a good work. Was that a good work that they did? What does he say to them? I never knew you. So I want you to understand, he's talking about false prophets who do good things, but he says you're going to know them by their fruits, and he's not talking about their lifestyle. He's talking about their message. Let me read something to you. There's a parallel passage in Luke chapter 6. Don't turn there. I've got it written down for you, or I've got it right here, and I'm going to read it to you. In Luke chapter 6, 43, 44, and 45, it's the same passage. It's talking about the same issue. Listen how he says this. He says, for there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor, on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. Each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor they pick grapes from briar bushes. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. That's the good person. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. Now, how are you going to know? For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. It's the message. It's not the lifestyle, because I'm going to tell you what. You saw the false prophets. They're in what kind of clothes? Sheeps. They look sheep clothes. They look just like a believer. So watch what he says. He says, You will know them by, this is verse 20, you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, just because they use my name, they will not enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father is in heaven. By the way, what is the will of the Father to enter into heaven? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he says. He says it in a number of places. He says, but you do the will of the Father. The will of the Father is to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. Notice what he goes on to say. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? See, we're prophets. We're in sheep's clothing, but did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, did we not cast out demons? Didn't we even do miracles? Are those good things or bad things? Bad or good? They're good, see? It's not their actions. It's not their lifestyle. It's their what? Message. Watch what he says. Did we not do all this in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Now, what I want you to understand is when people say to you that you can look at a lifestyle and you can determine if a person is a Christian or not, you cannot. All you can tell is whether they live bad or good, and you don't know. There are people who actually live good who are false prophets, as he says in this passage. And there are people who live bad who have trusted in Christ as Savior and have eternal life. So the only basis that you're going to know on whether a person is a believer or not is not by looking at their lifestyle, but by their message. And let me tell you, I seem to find in the Scripture that our goal is not to look at people's lifestyle, sit back as the judge and determine whether they're saved or not by lifestyle. Our goal is, if you're not sure if a person is a Christian, is you go talk to them and say, do you know if you were to die, are you going to have eternal life? Are you going to go to be with Jesus Christ? See what they say. And if they say, I think I am, I hope I am, say, would you like to know for sure? And you tell them about Christ. If they say, I know I am, and you say, why? And they say, good works. Tell them, well, you know what? Works can't get you there. Let me tell you how. And they may even say to you, yes, I have trusted in Christ as Savior. And so the thing you've got to recognize is it's so easy to get caught up in this thing where people say stuff like, you will know them by their fruits. And what they're saying is, you look around this room and you can tell who's a Christian or not. A true Christian won't do what? What's some of the things they say? A real Christian would never do what? Dance. Huh? Dance. Yes, right. Thank you so much for bringing that up. What did David do before the ark when they brought it into Jerusalem? He danced before the Ark of the Covenant. Is dancing okay? It's just according to how you dance. Let's just say that, right? Okay? What else would a real Christian wouldn't do?
Smoke.
Smoke, yeah. I've known a lot of Christians who smoke. I know that's a habit that sometimes people start, and it is hard to stop it. Real Christian wouldn't do what? Drink. What do you think Jesus had in his hand when he said, this is my body and this is my... What was that? At that party, at that wedding in Cana of Galilee, and he said he'd just fill that thing up with water and take it over there, and they drank it, and that guy said, Mamma mia, that's the best stuff I've ever drank. He said, usually you save the best stuff for the start, you know, and the worst stuff at the end, because everybody's already drank it and they don't know what it tastes like anyway. He said, but you save the best stuff for the last. What was that stuff? Huh? Who said grape juice? Did you know what's so funny about that is I've heard people teach that, and you know what the Greek word is there? Take a guess. It's wine. There's no way around it. You can't change it. What else would a real Christian not do? Huh? What do they say?
Murder.
Oh, a real Christian really wouldn't murder. Paul murdered. Moses murdered. David murdered. What else? Huh? Sin. Well, there's some who... That's right. I talked to a guy on campus about 3 years ago that said it had been years since he sinned. I told him it had been seconds since I had sinned. But that I thought by him saying years that he just probably sinned and his record is over. You know? Isn't it funny how that there are a lot of people who will say, Now, this is how you know if they're Christians. They live a certain way. Now, it's our standard that we decide how they live. They don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't dance, they don't commit adultery, they don't murder, they don't do these things, because real Christians wouldn't do these things. Let me ask you this question. Is a Christian capable of any sin? Any. If you think you're not, you've just set yourself up to do that sin. If you think, I would never do that, don't ever say it. Don't ever say, I would never do that. Say, by the grace of God, I will not do that. But I'm going to tell you, take heed lest you think you stand, you will fall. So don't put yourself in that situation. So when it says you'll know them by their fruits, it's talking about their message. It's dealing with false prophets in this particular passage. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's great. We've never had that in here. Okay, let me stop. I know time is just about up. Any questions, comments on this? Okay, because this is powerful. Yes?
My Bible says, I being acknowledged,
well, I think in the original it's fruits, but let me look it up for you, because I'm pretty sure that in that particular passage it's plural. Okay, well, let me look it up, because NIV has a, you know, NIV is just a great translation, but it does take some liberties in certain places that I wish it didn't take liberties in. There's the, well, let me get back here. Is that okay? Does that help? Okay.
I'm not sure I don't have that question. Mine has numerical standard, but it has fruits, and in verse 20, fruits again, they're singular in between.
Right.
And I can see how message fits the first two. I can't really.
Well, if you say you can say fruit or fruits, it doesn't matter. All they're saying is, coming out of your life, I'm going to be, if people who take that passage in the way that we don't think you should take it, they're just saying, coming out of your life, we're going to be able to see by your lifestyle whether you're a Christian or not. But if you take that passage in the flow, since it's false prophets, they look like sheep already, and it says they did all these things like casting out demons, prophesying in his name, calling him Lord, Lord. We're saying that that passage is not talking about lifestyle. When he says you'll know them by their fruit or fruits, we're saying we'll know them by the message or messages that they give. That's what I think he's saying. And so really, whether it's plural or not, it's not a big issue, but I'm just saying most people have always said to me, you'll know them by their fruit, as if it's fruit of the Spirit or fruit of their lifestyle, when I think that it's talking about their message. Does that help any?
No, I just don't see how message fits with 17, 18, 19. I try to translate every good tree bears a good message, bad tree bears a bad message.
Yeah, well, the idea there, well, I think the whole point of the parable, or the whole point of the statement, is what do they produce? What's coming out? And I'm thinking here that he's not saying their lifestyle, because he's already said they look like sheep, and he's already said they do all these good works. I think he's talking about what their message or messages or what's coming out from them, because they're false prophets. And I think that he says, how are you going to know a false prophet? A false prophet would say something that's contrary to the Scripture. That's what I think he's saying. And you know, maybe we can talk more in detail about it. Yeah, there's no doubt. And I think this, yeah, good point. And I think this is their message, because if you go to the parallel passage in Luke, he says, out of the mouth speaks which comes from the heart. So, is that the second bell already? Is that it? It is? Oh, we're through then. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this passage. Help us as we continue to look through it to see the understanding of fruit or fruits or message or whatever. And Lord, as we look at it, we realize that we don't go and look at people's lifestyle to determine salvation. We hear what their message is. Do they know Jesus Christ as Savior or not? Lord, help us to realize that we want to produce fruit. We want to live in such a way, and as we think about it that way, Lord, that we bring glory to you. Help us to see these passages and know that our security is in Jesus Christ and not in our lifestyle. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.